I can't believe you said that about Lenny. Mina's going to be mad. Guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And now for your Sports Center update. The Flames defeated the Jets 4-0 to advance.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Because I didn't hear what happened. Chris backed away from the microphone. Billy is a weird shade of red. So now you guys got to tell. Because you can't, the show can't be so inside that only five of you get what the joke is. And I'm not one of them. So you need to tell the audience what the hell just happened there. Who disparaged Mina Kimes' dog?
Amin.
What did he say?
I paid it a compliment, if you want to know. I said, even though that dog is one of the dumbest creatures on God's green earth, it's a pretty handsome dog. Like, Lenny's a good-looking dog.
All right. The Flames advance to the round of 16 after beating the Jets. Damian Lillard, Dame time. Scored 45 points and had 12 assists, and the Trailblazers 125-115 win over the Nuggets. And finally, baby leatherback turtles talk to each other when they're still in the eggs. Scientists say they coordinate the timing of their hatching by making sounds. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
All right, so Amino Hassan and Jorge Sedano are in with us today with the shipping container. No Stugatz. It takes an army of millions to replace the mighty Gatz. What happened, Amino? Why are you making the skeptical face?
You know, Stugatz has been missing a lot of time recently, and I'm just wondering, you guys are switching to the two-hour format and the digital hour. What makes you have any confidence that he's going to be around for any of that?
It's a very good question. We will all find out together on August 17th whether he will actually be around for it. But he does say that he cares about the fans, and everything he says is also a lie. So it doesn't really matter.
I was going to say, he says lots of things.
It's about the fans.
All right. I mean, it's fair. It's totally fair. It needs to echo throughout the Grand Canyon, that laughter right there. But before we get to Stugatz's betrayals over the years from Sedano's text, Sedano is going to betray Stugatz here by reading some honest-to-God Stugatz texts about other people, how he mother bleeps them in private while being a fraud. But I want to bounce back and forth between that and some serious basketball analysis from Amin. So let's start with Amin. So we're giving people some of the things, the morsels that they want, and also the Stugatz stuff that you know that they crave. So help me, Amin. In the bubble, what have you seen so far that has changed your mind about maybe the Portland Trailblazers, who didn't even want to play if the games weren't going to be playoff types of games. And now people are excited as Damian Lillard is, you know, scoring 40 and Carmelo Anthony looks great. And, you know, people are becoming Gary Trent Jr. fans.
Yeah, no, surprise is probably not the word for it, because I expected this, given that they were a team that was as bad as they were because of health. And because Nurkic was out and Zach Collins got hurt very early, they were forced to play Hassan Whiteside a lot of minutes and, you know, with understandable results. But now those two guys are healthy, and they're, especially Nurkic, such a pivotal part of their success prior to his injury. It makes them the team that's an 8 seed, but not really an 8 seed. You know, a couple of years ago, Kevin Durant made a joke on CJ McCollum's podcast. You know, CJ McCollum said, we were a 3 seed. And Durant said, yeah, but you played like an 8 seed. Well, now they're an 8 seed, but they're really kind of like a 4 seed if they were healthy all the way throughout the season. So you add that with Carmelo Anthony being in much better shape and having a full training camp to get adjusted, and I think the Blazers are clearly going to be the team that the Lakers face in the first round of the playoffs.
Jorge, what is the weakest of your Stugatz betrayals? We will do this in reverse order. We will do the weakest one first. What do we need to know about the this particular text exchange that you secretly had with Stugatz?
Okay, so last week I gave you my kind of thoughts, kind of like a, you know, a game notes kind of version of it. Now I'm going to actually read actual texts here. The weakest one is about Stephen A. Smith.
Okay, so what's happening here? He's watching Stephen A. Smith on television and he's texting you
critique? No. January 3rd, 2014, Dateline, Dan. Dano. So Stugatz and I did First Take that week. And Stugatz texts me the next day, great First Take ratings for us. And I write, really? How many viewers? And he writes, 330,000. They averaged less. This is when it was on ESPN2. And I said, that's nice. He's like, yeah, Antoine, who is the producer, sent me a nice note. We did better than Stephen A. at any point this week. Gas bags is what he writes after that.
Yes, he wants to start the show Gas Bags, him and Sedano. There might be a market for that in some dystopian future that he did. He is absolutely the one who comes off of the First Take set, gets a better number than Stephen A., and then starts pointing sausage fingers at people saying, I could do that job better than he can, buddy. I can. I'm telling you. I'm better at this than he is. What can you tell us about the Clippers? What have you seen from the Clippers?
Well, first of all, let me just say Gas Bags as a show concept, love it. Green light it tonight. I want to see that show. I will be a loyal viewer for that. But as far as the Clippers go, Dan, obviously not having Montrezl Harrell, who is the prohibitive favorite to win Sixth Man of the Year, is a game changer for them. It really does lessen them because he's such a big part of their bench production. Lou Williams just played his first game the other day. He's been, you know, obviously had a rough go of it beforehand. But the Clippers overall, Dan.
All right, we lost him, and I was getting bored anyway. So, Sedano, what was the second of the Stugatz texts that you have there? What is the
championship favorite? I think they're everybody's champion who can go out there.
Thank you, Amin. Appreciate all your thoughts on the matter. We will just move on from there to a better Zoom feed microphone. And Sedano, what is the second text that you have that is going to betray Stugatz? How private is it? When was it from? What is the context we need for it? I mean, okay. It's okay. You will have a chance to redeem yourself. Get your head out of your hands. We will come back to you here and see if your Zoom microphone works any better next time. What do you have here, Sedano?
It's actually way better anyway. Dateline, Dano. May 13th, 2015, 4:23 p.m. I was doing a radio show at that time with Mark Schlereth, if you recall, back in 2015. Chauncey Billups was in studio with me. And I don't remember the exact context of who we were discussing, but it seems like Chauncey was talking about a player who has now grown up, who has now matured. So Stugatz fires off, unbeknownst to me, he grew up in 3 months. Get out of here. He's winning. Only difference. Like Iverson. Iverson, locker room cancer until he won. Then he wasn't. I want to fight with them. Apparently he wants to fight with both Schlereth and Chauncey Billups in this particular incident. And I responded to him, you know, it's kind of hard to argue with Mr. Big Shot. And he's like, psh, grew up. He was just suspended for 2 games during the playoffs. Grew up. I'm calling 1-888-SAY-ESPN. Lines are busy, he texts me later. Tell him you're getting a private show from Stugatz via text. Zach Randolph, he was talking about Zach Randolph. Here we go. Zach Randolph became a leader and grew up when he started winning.
That is very Stugatz. Also a stolen take from me. It's not an.
I mean, Stink and Mr. Big Shot, please. What do they know?
Amin, you want to finish your boring Clippers point?
not especially, no.
All right, very good.
You want me to get to the Simmons one?
Yes, let's get to the best of the text from Stugatz.
Oh, my God.
All right,
this is good.
All right, so let's hear this. This should I tease it for the next segment?
Because let's do that, Dan, because we're going to need to discuss here. We're going to need to discuss on this one for sure.
Really quickly, Sedano and Stink, that was one of the more creative radio show names in history, right? And that says a lot about radio show names.
Coming August 17th, Greeny will be following us at noon. The show is called Greeny.
Now to the good stuff.
DraftKings, people. What happened?
I was going to say, Dano, don't forget the weenie.
No, there was no weenie with Greeny and the weenie. It was just Greeny. Weenie wanted to get with Greeny, but Greeny didn't want any weenie. That's what happened. I'm not making that up. DraftKings, people. I'm not making that up. He wanted to do Greeny and the weenie. He did. But it's just Greeny. You'll see Greeny with no weenie. Noon to 2 Eastern on ESPN Radio beginning August 17th. This does not happen very often around here. Our thanks to Sedano and Amin El Hassan for spending some time with us today. But Amin El Hassan during the break requested to talk about something. He wants to talk about why it is that radio shows have such uncreative names. But I want to talk about what Amin El Hassan and Chris Cody were talking about during the break, which is the horrors of the Zoom call when you have frozen and you think that everyone else has frozen and you keep talking and realize, oh, no, I'm frozen. I'm no longer on the air. I've screwed this up for everybody. So, Chris, tell us what it is that you were burying Amin about during the break, because one of the things I do think people should start doing who are on tricky situations like Derek Jeter being asked hard questions about coronavirus is pretend to freeze on the Zoom and see if the question just goes away. Like, I think it's an actual strategy that can be used during the pandemic. Amin is presently frozen right now, or looks frozen, and it's a funny thing to do to your friends. Chris, how did you bury him during the break? Because he was feeling pretty bad about himself. He had like a chart and graphs. He really wanted to talk about the Clippers there.
Well, I just know that pain so much because I've been that person with the crappy internet that just ruins the show for everybody. So I wanted to make him feel better, tell him that it actually worked out funnier because let's be honest, what he was saying was a little, you know. So, Dan jumping in was really funny and it worked comedically. So I was just, you know, don't worry, Amin, it worked out funny. But then I was just like, God, that's the worst feeling in the world when you think everyone else is frozen or really listening to what you're saying. But no, it's just your crappy internet.
Oh my God! You couldn't even plan that.
No way! No way!
You couldn't even plan that.
No way!
That is unbelievable timing right there. Unbelievable timing, Sedano.
Oh my God! It just happened again to me.
You got half a syllable out. You got half a syllable out.
It feels like someone at the internet is like, wait, he's about to talk. Now hit the button.
That's right. Sedano, what do you have there? Because while you were reading Stugatz's text, you discovered another Stugatz text, and you've been studying 8 years of Stugatz text.
So before we get to the Bill Simmons critique that Stugatz had, just randomly sending me critiques of Bill Simmons, I came across this text just now from April 8th, 2014, 10:40 a.m. Question for you, buddy. Do you want to do Sports Bang this week? Could you or want to do the show on Friday as well? Radio was the second question. To which I responded, Stugatz, I live in Connecticut. How the hell am I going to do Sports Bang? And then he writes, oh, yeah, you're right. How about radio, though?
Yes, that is Sports Bang is like an infomercial sports show that Stugatz did down here on Saturdays. It was a television show. It was magical. Billy was the producer. He's still waiting to get paid. You think I'm kidding. Right? Sedano, I ain't kidding.
Oh, I know. I know. I mean, who are you talking to? I've buried bodies.
Let's get to the good one, though. Let's get to the Bill Simmons one. Yes, yes, Billy. Sports Bang, bring back good memories.
Not good memories. The funny thing about it that shouldn't surprise you at all because it's the most Stugatz thing. So as we know, Stugatz, a bit braggadocious, I think is fair to say. Yes?
Yes.
A bit.
Okay. So Stugatz, while owing me money, would tell me, oh, buddy, we got this advertiser to pay this much a month. It's crazy. And I'm like, why are you telling me how much you're making when I know that you owe me money and I know that you're making a lot more than
so
you owe
him.
Me?
So him. And people think we're kidding with this stuff. It is not an act. It is simply the sleaziest thing you've ever had anywhere near your body.
That's not even braggadocious. That's just an idiot who's bragging
That's right.
about how much money he's
that
made
is
when
absolutely
he owes
right.
money.
That is absolutely so. That is it is only bragging if you're a total idiot. That's exactly right. And if that's not the Stugatz story, Sedano, so give us what it is. What's the context behind the Simmons text?
Okay, before I get it, it's about Simmons on NBA Countdown and him like literally just randomly like popping up and critiquing him to me. Like, I guess he's watching TV and he's just spitballing whatever he's seeing. The funny part about all of this is how much Stugatz actually sucks up to Bill Simmons whenever he's on your show, right?
Like, no, love Simmons and wants things from Simmons.
Oh, my God. Right. And he finally got him. Didn't he do stupidity, Simmons? Didn't he do stupidity?
I don't know. But he's always – this is the thing with
– But he was on Simmons' podcast, right? Stugatz was on Simmons, right?
I think – I don't know. It was supposed to be a home and home, and I think Stugatz hasn't been invited back to his part of the home and home.
All right. So here's the text. Dateline, May 9th, 2014. Hey, buddy. I got to start with that, of course.
Always.
Are you watching NBA Countdown? To which I write, yeah. And he's like, Michelle Beadle is great. Uh-oh. I'm like, yeah, she's great. He writes then, I think Simmons is awful.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
He says,
oh, no.
I would go with Wilbon and Magic and Beadle and Jalen and Collins. Anyone else?
Anyone else? Anyone so then, else?
Then he writes, you can also go the other way. No former players. Meanwhile, Bill Simmons is not a former player. But he writes, Beadle, Colin, as in Cowherd, Stephen A., and question mark. I don't even know what that means.
I think that's Collins, Doug Collins. I don't think that's Colin Cowherd.
No, he writes Colin, not Collins. Like, I'm telling you. And he says, just people who have credibility and chemistry, news, and have fun. This is the best part. Ready? You knew this was coming.
Uh-oh.
Seriously, buddy. Me, you, and Dan with Beadle would be better than anybody they're trotting out there.
Dan made the cut.
Surprising.
So, Bill, if you're listening, for all the stuff Stugatz says that's nice about you, just know that when you were on NBA Countdown, he was torching you, flaming you.
So, Dono, in your history knowing Stugatz, I think it's faster to ask it this way. How many shows hasn't he replaced everyone with you and him?
And he's done it with everyone at the network. He is such a sports radio prostitute. Like, everyone at the network, he's done it to everybody. You and me can do Monday Night Football, buddy. I know we can. No,
he
I
did
know.
That.
I know.
He did that. Yes. Me and him would do better than Tirico and Gruden.
Billy, help me with something here, please. Amino Hassan and Sinano in with us all show here. Thanks to them for spending some time with us, and Pablo Torre and Tim Kirkchen as well. Why were you having the conversation about what age is too old to do a front flip onto your couch? Like, what was that? What was the genesis of that conversation?
Well, Dan, you'll never believe it, but I was in my living room in front of my couch. And stop me if you see where this is going. I was going up to my couch and kind of just holding the side and stretching my back a little bit, kind of squatting down. And my dog does this thing where he does like a somersault sometimes to scratch his back, where he just kind of leans forward, puts his head, and he does like a front flip. And then he like rolls around, scratches his back. So I'm like kind of like stretching my back. I go, man, I wonder if I could just kind of do a somersault onto the couch here, and what would happen. And I was like, well, I'm not going to just do a somersault. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to go all in. And guess what I did? I did a front flip onto my couch, Dan, right? So I leaned back and I hopped up and I front flipped onto my couch. And then everything was really dizzy for a moment and the world seemed to be spinning because I guess I went too quick or something. And I was like, yeah, I'm too old to be doing front flips onto my couch anymore. And I wonder what the age was where you go from not being too old to do a front flip onto your couch to being too old to do a front flip.
That age is 6 years old, that age that you're looking for, the elusive age. How old are you? How old are you?
6 and a half.
How old are you? There is a child inside of you that is about toddler's age when it comes to this stuff. Put it on the poll at your leisure, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Is 33 years old too old to be doing a front flip into your couch?
But your body has to change, right? Because the same thing happens like on roller coasters. Like, I'll go on roller coasters now that I went on a lot younger that had no effect on me. And now I'm like, whoa, like, what's going on here? Like, I'm a little wobbly in the legs. So your body, I guess, goes through some change at some point, right? What happens there? Any doctors in the house? Or?
I think instead of turning the radio show into free medical advice, you should go see a doctor about your equilibrium and what's happening there, because it sounds like the pebbles in your ear that are meant to keep its balance are having a little trouble with your front flips into the couch at 33 years old.
In my ears?
Yes, there are pebbles in your ears that help with your equilibrium. Yes. You did not know this?
Earwax? That's not pebbles. Not, if it dries up, you got to clean it out, Dan.
No, there are. Well, and why are we doing this now? As if it wasn't bad enough that you were asking for a medical assessment before. Now you've dragged me into with a follow-up question, giving my doctor, my medical degree. Yes, there's your equilibrium is affected by a sort of things that are like pebbles in your ear. Yes, Amin.
It's not that he's doing bad radio. It's that you're being lured into it. You're actually having a back and forth with him about
that pebbles thing. Doesn't sound right to me.
Okay. You see what he's doing here? He will keep with the follow-ups and he'll keep dragging me into this. And I am tempted to continue talking to him about it, but I am just dying to hear the rest of your Clippers take.
Oh, please freeze.
Why do you want to do this now, man? I know someone at Internet Central is like, oh, here he goes. Get ready. Watch this. 3, 2, 1. They're going to hit the button right in the middle of my analysis. It's going to freeze in the middle of me talking. Then we're all going to have the same laugh we've had for the last half hour.
Or it won't work at all because you're filibustering and now your internet connection is fine. And we're both getting not the analysis I want and not the funny.
You wasted the good internet.
Yeah. Yes, Sedano.
I did find another text from Stu Gatz about Simmons. Yes. Where he asked me if he – this is a legitimate question he asked me. Do you think I can start a site like The Ringer? To which I responded to, you don't even have 1/1,000,000th of the talent of Bill Simmons. How in God's green earth do you think you could start a website like Bill Simmons?
I think Stu Gatz's website would be awesome because it would be nothing but like fraud tips and how to weasel out of obligations.
That's such a good website. It's such a good idea. Stu Gatz having a website where you have to shower afterward because there's just a bunch of stuff there that that's unethical.
It actually could be The Ringer. You know what I'm saying? Like you could actually use that name too. He'd have to try to buy it from Simmons.
No, he wouldn't. That's the whole point of Stu Gatz, right? Is stealing the name and not giving any credit or any sort of compensation.
He would have The Ringers with a Z at the end.
Yeah, the thing about his ideas, though, like you realize that he is just stealing gas bags from the show that Simmons and I were going to do called Blow Harder. Like he's just stealing the idea. None of these ideas are in any way his. What are you shaking your head no about?
Wait a second. Did you guys have like a penalty flag, a challenge flag, and all of those gimmicks that he has in his show?
He also, did you have a nose, Dan? Like a big nose, a person in a nose costume that would come out and do the smell test? I don't know.
He overheard things being said around here. He steals them. And then he says, while on your text in 2014, yelling at Chauncey Billups, Allen Iverson didn't grow up. He just got to the finals. He was just stealing my take, like just stealing it and making it his own back before these things spread and you could see it more clearly. Like he hasn't had an original thought since 2003.
I mean, could you imagine, though? Like, think about it this way, Dan. Like, he literally sent me a text asking me, a person who has 1/1,000,000th of a fraction of the talent of Bill Simmons, if he could start a website. Meanwhile, he had me once sitting in a parking lot of an LA Fitness for an hour trying to come up with ideas for him for a show he could then pitch to an ESPN executive. I gave him a ton of ideas. I told him, let's do this. Put it on paper. We'll go back and forth via email. I sent him an email that said, let's go. Give me what you got. I will help you sort your thoughts out. To which he didn't respond for a month. And when he responded, he said, looks like we're really rolling here, buddy.
This is like when Stu Gatz pitched me on having a Sunday show with him on ESPN Radio. He even offered to negotiate my rate because he knew the execs and we'll get this done, buddy, and this is great. And then I didn't hear nothing from him for about a month. And when I did, it was weekend observations with Mike Golic Jr.
For over for over a year, he pitched a golf show for me and him to do on ESPN Plus.
Is that what he was yelling? Wait a minute. Was he yelling week that somebody stole the golf show? Is that what I heard him yelling, that your idea, Chris, has been taken by somebody else?
Well, it's a totally different show, but yes, the caddy, Michael Collins, has a show now, a golf show on ESPN Plus, and Stugatz is like, yeah, that's our show, buddy.
Any show revolving around golf, Stugatz would have claimed was stolen from him at this point.
It's so good. People think we're lying, and yet if I could put anybody who's had an interaction with him in this Zoom box, and they would all have a story like that, every last one of them.
Dan, he literally stole my radio show one time. Like, literally stole my radio show. I was like 24 years old doing a radio show at 940 Fox Sports in Miami. It was owned by Clear Channel Communications. Stugatz literally went to the general manager and told him he would buy my time to do the show. He would pay him to do the show that he was paying me to do. And he did it with Toast. Someone named Toast, okay, who was a rock and roll third wheel, classic morning zoo show guy. And they did. They didn't steal my whole show. They stole an hour of my show. He literally bought it from the general manager.
We've come a long way from Stugatz stealing an hour of your show to Greeny stealing an hour of ours.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Sounds this week have been brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life.
We've got more sounds to put into the club. Chris, Cody, and I have a bet on whether or not a sound will appear in the club or not. Amin Alhassan, before you get out of here and before we update the polls, can you plug where it is that people can get more of you if they want more Amin Alhassan basketball coverage during the playoffs?
Well, basketball coverage, I'm going to be on The Jump today. You can catch that at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on ESPN. Me and Rachel Nichols and a cast of other characters. But if you want some stuff that's a little bit more fun than basketball, I urge you to check out my two podcasts, one of which is Black Opinions Matter, B-O-M-M. We do that every Tuesday. This week we have Logan Murdoch from The Ringer on. We have a lot of fun talking about the brokest you've ever been as an adult. And then we have Cinephobe, which is my bad movie podcast that I do with Zach Harper. So we review the worst movies rated by Rotten Tomatoes. You don't have to have watched the movie to enjoy the podcast. So Cinephobe and B-O-M-M. Thank you.
Why are you shaking your head no, Sedano?
Because Chris Cody wrote in the chat, I was hoping he'd freeze.
God, I got somehow less interested in that than I was in Clippers talk earlier. Like, I didn't think it was possible. Good God, what a boring promo.
Why does Black Opinions Matter have two M's?
It's a great question.
Well, it's because it used to come out on Mondays, and then we had a schedule change, and it came out on Tuesday. So we changed the M to mean something else that I can't see on radio.
Oh, hey, Roy, since Amin hasn't had a chance to do it, I just want to let you know that it is time to flip the script, baby. We all know Dan Le Batard likes to ask the probing questions of his guests, make them uncomfortable. It is time to flip the script. Amin, you get your shot at flipping the script on Dan. Go.
Dan, why haven't I been on Highly Questionable since February?
Woo!
Oh, wow.
Yikes.
You think I'm the one who schedules people? You think?
It's your show, dude.
I mean, I didn't know you were here today until you popped up on the chat with your hobo hair. Like, I didn't know that Pablo Torre was here today until I saw him pop up on the chat. I thought I was working with Stugatz today. And how is that flipping the script on me, just asking why you weren't on more?
It is very Stugatzian. There's a little Stugatz in all of us, for sure.
Do you have other questions, or is the flip...
I have one for you, Dan. Why do you like burning bridges with great people like Doris Burke? Like, who burns a bridge with Doris Burke?
Oh, my God, no. It's horrific. That was a total accident. It wasn't a burnt bridge. Like, I just called her. Billy, tell him the story. I was calling her because we were doing one of these internet telecasts, and I just wanted to warn her.
No. That's a cute version, but no. This is what happened. They ask us to do a simulcast, which you've noticed we're not doing those anymore, and it's because of things like this. It was the NBA Finals, and Doris Burke is the leading voice for the NBA for ESPN, right? One of the most respected individuals that works for the NBA for ESPN. And Dan thought that it'd be a good time because we were going to get a halftime interview with her in the middle of the finals, the most important time of the NBA season, the most important time of her year. We were going to get an interview with her on the simulcast, two or three questions. And he called her and said, Doris, listen, I have this idea. During the interview with you, I'm not going to talk to you. My producer's going to ask you dumb questions, and then you're going to answer it. It's going to be fun, right? And then like half an hour later, something happened where the TV producers were like, yeah, we're going to pull the plug on that. Not going to happen. So I don't know. I think I'm not going to say that it's because of her. I think that maybe she just gave them a heads up and they're like, we're not. No, no, we're not doing this. We're not wasting the time. And we've never been on the show with her again.
Dan, Amin can attest. DB is an American treasure. How you would. She actually, I know she likes Dan Le Batard, blowhard journalist. I don't think she listens to the show, so I don't knew. I'm pretty sure she didn't know the context of what was happening. But to Billy's point, who in their right mind asks them to do that in the most important moment of their life at any point in the year?
Would you have done it if you were the sideline reporter at a finals?
I've known you for 20 years. She's never met you.
Well, I asked. I made the ask on behalf of our show. It would have been a funny segment if she had decided to do it. But I've got no objection to Doris Burke. She's as good at what she does as anybody is at what they do in all across basketball. Like
she's the best.
Yes.
She's the GOAT. Yes. You should apologize to her publicly.
Okay, but I feel like this was all Billy's fault somehow. Wasn't it?
No.
Billy,
that's a fine. You're blaming someone else.
Billy, now we're not gonna have any club here time. No time for the club because
people like to flip the script,
Dan. The script has been flipped. Billy, I felt like I was calling Doris Burke specifically because we were doing a bit to give her a heads up so that we weren't blindsiding her. Because doing that to her during the finals without telling her seemed to be profoundly disrespectful to me.
Counterpoint, don't do it to her during the finals.
Amin is like dumbfounded here. You got to use the microphone.
Amin, just turn down his microphone. I don't want to hear from him anymore. Like, honest to God. Amin, do you forget how to do radio? You have to speak, Amin. You have to speak when you're
spoken to. This is why you're not on HQ, Amin.
This is why.
There it is.
Catwoman, this week.
Flip the script.